This is the second time this takes place at Porgy and Bess. Why do you choose Porgy and Bess? How does it work between Nason and Porgy and Bess and Mika?
We have several cooperation with the club. We are doing also a festival in December. It's called Kick Jazz, where we invite international promoters from Europe. Up to 24 promoters are coming to see these bands. And because this club is one of the best clubs in Europe, for sure, and it's one of the top five clubs in the in the whole world, and it has a special appearance in the mood, the feeling, the sound of the club. The technicians are well trained because there is 7 days a week. There are concerts 7 days a week, and together with the artistic director of this club, Christoph Huber, we just try to set up a certain kind of cooperation, which is easy because he's very open-minded and he's a special music lover.
Now you mention a great festival that takes place during 2 days, you were telling me, in December. And actually, it's you, again, who originated this festival. How many years ago it happened, the Kick Jazz, and why the Kick Jazz name, and how does it happen? What is happening, actually?
I wanted to do it for several reasons. It's now the fifth edition. I was carrying the idea in my mind for many years, and I did similar things in the 90s. And it's all... the most important part is the budget, so I have to find the budget so that the musicians get be paid and that I can invite all these promoters, and then I guarantee that all the travel costs for the promoters, if they book some band, they see, for them it's easier than to book a band they like. And on the other hand, I give them the possibility to meet other promoters on a spot, which is... like the Porgy and Bess, and they all wanted to see the club because they know the club. If they haven't been there, they know it. That's a very famous club in Europe. And it's a good period. It's the end of the year, and everybody has more or less finished his work or her work. So it's a good time to me, listen to six very good bands, and also give other musicians the possibilities who are not performing to meet these promoters and to see them face to face and have a nice chat. So that's the idea behind it. It's not a kind of showcase, because outside it's like a real festival and it's presented as one. And we really have three slots every evening, so they play the normal concerts. It's not like presenting 25 bands on one day. So it's three bands on one day, and they have a good time the whole day, and then they come to the concert, listen to the six bands, they have fresh ears, and that's...
So there are 2 days concert, three bands.
Yes, six bands playing on these 2 days.
Well, let's hope things are going to get better and better, so maybe your idea expands and you start traveling with this Kick Jazz somewhere else.
Yeah, it could be a possibility, but on the other hand, we're just trying to make presentations on the international festivals. So what we are trying is really that these bands are booked and they get proper paid and they are part of the real program and not the side program. So that when they play there, then they'll play on the stages, all the international musicians.
Now you touch a subject a little bit delicate but important to approach, the way musicians are treated in venues, and if, because actually when they really get good benefits out of their art, their music, is when they play at, well, except great venues like Porgy and Bess, but in some cases they really try to pay them peanuts.
Yes.
And the festivals is where they get really honored by what they're doing. Mm.
That's the reason. So I want to push forward the idea that they are respected as musicians, as other musicians who are properly paid, so they do a good work. And so if somebody is building you a kitchen, then you also want to pay this person proper, because he builds you a wonderful environment, and that's what some musicians are doing too. They are building you a wonderful environment, and that's why they should be respected and paid properly.
Okay. Before I enter the harsh question in regards to this pandemonium, I will ask you, let's say before, and even you can mention nowadays with this pandemic, how it is the, as you are the expert there, the Austrian jazz panorama, with the new bands appearing, with the old bands, are still the, let's say, the 60s, 70s generations of jazz Austrian musicians still they're active, playing, and with the new generations?
Yes, some of them survive, some of them are still playing, and there are some musicians who really play with the young generation. Mm-hmm. So they're really interacting mm-hmm. with this generation, and both meet on the same level, and they are respecting each other and trying to set up different kind of projects. And the funny thing is that all the musicians, what any kind of style they are doing, they are able to be in different combinations within this big group of musicians. So you can find the same musician in more world music oriented band or a pop music oriented band and experimental music, so they can really switch to the different kind of languages mm-hmm. and fit in very well. And what they can do is they always bring in their creativity, and that's the reason why so many interesting and new projects popping up and looking really, sounding really great.
I would like to ask you now the harsh one.
Yes, the harsh one.
How has it been for you as Mika Music of Austria, and you being the one dealing, because you have the responsibility of what is the goal of Music Austria, supporting the musicians, and well, they're very well taken here in Austria, the musicians. They're like blessed with the existence of Music Austria. And actually, it's something hardly you find somewhere else, maybe in the Nordic countries like Finland, Norway, maybe Denmark, I don't know.
Yes, but the Nordic countries are very well doing in this direction.
Like the Austrians are great. I mean, what would you say? Without culture, without music, life is not life.
Yeah. No, I think it's a main important thing is to spread the word. When I started this kind of idea, when I was a professional musician in the 70s, 80s, and until the early 90s, I was only playing music. And then I there was the situation that all the knowledge about festival media, clubs, and how to do it was more or less secret knowledge. When people or musicians knew about festival promoters or clubs, they didn't share the knowledge. So I was studying music and sociology, and in that period I said, no, the word has to be spread, because everybody should have the same access. So at that time, me and a good friend, so we started the database with all the informations about festivals, clubs, medias throughout Europe, and everybody could get it for free. So that what we started in the late 80s. And you should know that this was before internet. So you couldn't go on a screen, on a machine, and just search for a club in Europe. You should had to know if there is a club and if it's existing. Mm-hmm. So it was this kind of secret knowledge I want to share with everybody. My knowledge I want to share with everybody, because that's the way the human mankind increased all the knowledge they have mm-hmm. if you don't share it. I'm always saying, when I'm dead, my knowledge helps nobody. So I have to share my knowledge as long as I'm alive.
Exactly. That's beautiful. That's a philosophy. And talking about philosophy, you're a teacher. You're teaching music, and actually you have the experience with the people that one day will be hopefully on stage playing and hopefully recording not one, maybe two, three, lots of albums maybe. What would you say to these people all over the world who are listening to the Jazz Austriaco series here in Jueves de Jazz? And what would you say to the people like me, like so many others, that we are really passionate about jazz lovers, but we have no clue how music happens? What is the process? What would you say to these two different realms of jazz?
No, I would say just keep on doing the things you want to do. And if you...
So, my last question is now talking about Helge Hinteregger.
About me.
About you. I know you don't want that. But you're a musician.
When well, did I you have when, been when, one.
When did you start?
How old were you? When I started, what do you mean when I started?
Yeah,
as a child, when I was learning my instruments.
And what was the first instrument?
Yeah, accordion. I played accordion. I studied accordion for 8 years.
8 years. And then you jumped in classical.
And then I was playing saxophone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose the sax?
At the time, I was 15 or 14.
Uh-huh.
I just found it. I'm coming from the countryside. I thought, oh, it's a nice instrument. I'll try this one.
That's why you fell in love with jazz? Why did you choose jazz?
That's a funny story, because at the time I grew up by my grandparents, and they had this kind of abonnement so for books. I didn't want books, so I always was finding some records. So. And then there was a record in this catalog, and it was from Stan Getz, and then I get it, and then from this time on I switched from popular music to jazz. But I didn't. For me, it was kind of the cooler stuff. I think it was 14 or something like that, 13, 14.
And in between this conversation, I'm going to share with my audience a piece from your latest very, very creative approach to music. You are doing music with your mouth and using your mouth and electronics. What's the name of the album? And what will you share with us? Which piece from this album?
You choose. It's your program.
Okay. Like jazz, freedom, absolutely freedom.
Yes, absolutely freedom, yes. But the main point is, it's not about me. It's about the...
I know.
It's about the young generation. I'm an old man in the meantime, and time has gone away.
Not at all. Your foundation.
Yes.
A house
trying
without foundation.
Yes. As I said before, it's keeping the stone rolling, and
the wind might take
the wind blowing and the sun shining, or whatever you want to do, just to which kind of picture you want to create. It's just to if you have the possibility to connect and share, and what I say is to put a spotlight on the darker sides of the music scene.
That's beautiful.
Which is normally in the shadow. So you put the spotlight there, and then you find out what great things are happening.
That's beautiful. Helge, it's been really a blessing, a pleasure, a gift having you on board of first opening of the fantastic Jueves de Jazz Austriaco series.
Thank you very much
the
for
Austrian
giving us
jazz
chance.